Okay, so we're in our series called Praying Like Paul, and we're in Colossians chapter 1, Paul's prayer here, which, as I have mentioned, I consider this one of Paul's most pastoral prayers as he shows his pastor's heart for these people. He's fully interested in their good. And it's not that the other prayers he's not praying for God to reveal things, to teach them, to show them. But here, it's Paul's heart that is reaching out. He wants these people to be able to fulfill God's purpose in their life. That's really all of the context of this prayer, is about fulfilling God's purpose. And that the bottom line, which we will get to next week, is giving thanks to the Father. That the purpose of us living for him, and Paul's prayer is that they do, walking worthy of the Lord, is that they might, through their life, give thanks to God. Not just with words, but their life as a demonstration of giving thanks to God. So we'll get to that part next week. This week we're kind of in the middle of this, and Paul here is talking about the walk that he is praying and believing that the believers will walk, that they will yield to the directing and the leading of the Spirit so that they might walk in this way that is, as he says here, worthy of the Lord. So let's read the whole prayer as we do the beginning of each of these lessons, starting in chapter 1, verse 9 of Colossians. Paul says, "And so from the day we heard of your faith and love, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." And then our section tonight, or today, "fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So as we look at this section, Paul says in verse 10, "so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." Then he gives three basic points about what he means by walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. The first is fully pleasing him. And it's almost like an echoing of the same thought, but we'll talk about that this morning. Fully pleasing to him. And then walking worthy is being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might and endurance and patience. And this is, we'll talk about next week, being strengthened is not me trusting in myself. I want to walk in a manner that is worthy of the Lord, being strengthened by him. Not by my will, not by my strength, not by my education, not by my own effort, but my being strengthened comes from him. And that is showing my dependence upon the Lord. My strength comes from him. And then the final point, walking worthy of the Lord, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And that's just another glorious passage we'll come to next week. So, last week we studied about what it meant to walk worthy of the Lord, and that the idea there is balanced, that my life is balanced, that what Christ has invested in me, what he has done for me, what he has paid for me, I live a life that is balanced out as best as I can with what he has given. I want to walk a life that is showing that it is him that has done these things, and that if he has invested this in me, then this is the way I want to walk. And the word walk is literally walk about, or it's about a lifestyle. I want to live my life in such a manner that it balances what Christ has invested in me. Now, that's a goal. As we said last week, that is that is not something that we ever fully attain, to be fully living a life that is showing what he has invested in me. Some of those things I'm not even going to know till I get to heaven. But what he has invested, I want to show forth. And then he echoes that with the section we're going to talk about tonight. Or today, I keep saying tonight. Maybe for me, I'm looking forward to tonight. I don't know. But so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So under this section, fully pleasing to him, there's two subpoints. One, I'm pleasing him by bearing fruit. And number two, I'm pleasing him by increasing in knowledge. You know, it's an interesting point, but we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. So I want to be fully pleasing to him. And Paul is not, again, not teaching this. He's praying this. He wants them to know that this is what I'm praying for you, because I'm calling on God to do beyond what I can do. Paul can write them a letter. He could be there in person to teach them. But he wants to pray that God will do beyond what he can do. You know, we can teach our children, but we want them to be able to do beyond anything that we can teach. We teach them principles by which they can live so that they can draw from those principles and do more than what we taught them, so that they can have an understanding of life, not just walking according to, you know, my mom didn't tell me that, or government didn't tell me that, or whatever, you know. So we need to walk in such a manner. There's a lot of the Bible. I mean, I know, how many have read through the Bible in a year? All right. There's a lot in there that you didn't know, and there's a lot that you still don't know. I read it. It's like, okay, I'm moving on to the next paragraph. I can't wait to get out of the book of Numbers to get to something better. Because Paul doesn't only start the book of Numbers with this whole list of everybody. He ends the book with another list of the whole group of people. So, you know, there's sections, and you get reading in there in the prophets, and it's like, okay, when do I get to move on to something good? Come on, how many have ever thought, I want to move on to something that's good? Well, it's all good. Paul said it's all been given by inspiration of God. And is what? Profitable. Everybody say that? Profitable. That means there's something in there that you need so that you can do. It's a profit. And so when we talk about, hear Paul talking about fully pleasing to him, I can't live fully pleasing to him if I don't know some things. And so that goes back to the very beginning of this prayer, that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will. I got to have something if I'm going to be fully pleasing to him. I need to receive from him insight, instruction, things that I need to know today that maybe I didn't necessarily need to know yesterday, but I need them today, or I need them for this situation, or I need them for my family. And so Paul says, you know, it's not a matter of just going back to your teaching, because maybe you never got taught, but you still need to know it. And so Paul says, I'm praying that you can come to this knowledge so that you can walk. So we got to attach these things together. You need to know so that you can walk. And then he goes on, not only just to walk worthy, but fully pleasing to him. And so if I'm walking worthy with a balanced life, then am I not already fully pleasing to him? Yes, but he wants you to realize what it is that you're doing, fully pleasing to him. And I would dare say that if we read our culture today, people are fully pleasing to who? Themselves. That's the whole point of life, isn't it? To please myself. I don't care if it pleases you or not. If it pleases me, that's what I'm going to do. And that is pure selfishness, and it leads to sin and all manner of evil. Because it pleases me to take your money. Not me, but somebody might say that, right? Pleases me to take your money. I don't care that, you know, now that you've been robbed, that you don't have the money that you need for something else. I needed it for my own situation. So it pleases me. And that is the way so much of the world lives. Their education is what pleases me. If that doesn't please me, I don't need to learn it. I don't need to know those things because I don't need to know them. I don't want to know them. I don't care to know them. But that doesn't mean you won't need it. Because we're not just about pleasing ourselves. People live in their lives. This pleases me. I don't care whether it pleases other people. If it hurts them, let them get over it. But that's not the way God wants us to walk. I want to walk in a manner that is fully pleasing to Him. Now, this word fully pleasing comes from one Greek word, actually. It's the we put fully pleasing. But it really means that we are pleasing Him because of what we have received. I'm fully pleasing to the Lord, not just kind of pleasing. You know, so I know God's pleased with this area of my life. Maybe not so much that area, but we'll talk about that when I get to heaven. No, that's not the way God wants us to live. It's not, well, I'll set that aside. No, I want to live fully pleasing to Him. And the idea behind this word carries with it the idea of in everything. Pleasing in every way. Not just a little. Now, we've looked at the word fully before, but it's not the same idea here. This is the word which means each and every. I'm pleasing God in each and everything. Wow. There's a challenge. Pleasing Him in each and everything. That's, wow, I need God's help. Because I can't do that in myself. And Paul knows they can't. It's not, well, if I just learn enough of the word, I'll please God in each and everything. I don't have that capacity. I may have learned some things, but I can't always draw from that wisdom. I know I learned it, but I'm not sure what I learned. And then suddenly, maybe it comes to your knowledge, to your understanding. That's the way it is as we study God's Word, as we listen to His Spirit. He brings to us the things that we need so that we can be fully pleasing to Him, pleasing in each and everything. I'm at a different point in my life than you are in your life. Each one of us is pursuing at a different position. I need to know the things, each and everything, that pleases Him through my life. And if God has given me opportunity to minister into your life or to counsel or to share with you, then I can trust God to give me things that are pleasing in each and every way for you in the Lord. Sometimes God will give us things to teach. God gave Paul things to teach to these believers, things they needed to know so that they could be pleasing in each and every way. But I can't just do that by my own strength. I need some help. And so the help that I receive comes from Him. The word pleasing is the idea behind gaining favor, not because of what you can gain from it, getting favor, not because of what you can gain, but because of what you've received. Just like the word worthy. I'm pleasing because I was given this. I have this. This was invested in me. What am I going to do with it? Again, we think of the parable of the talents. And one man received 10, one man received 5, one man received 2 or 1. And so they were all supposed to increase on what they were given. not in competition with one another, but based on what they had been given to bring forth from it. And that is not living so that I can get something from God, which is where so much of the works image comes through in a lot of churches and a lot of teaching. It's if you do this, God will do this for you. And we can find ourselves buried in that. You know, if I will pray just right, God will do this. If I'll say this just right, God will do this. No, I say it because God has given it to me. And I want to be pleasing to him because of what he has invested in me. And again, it's very much like that walking worthy, walking with a balanced life. But this is more about what I have received. To please someone in this Greek culture meant that you got something and now you're doing something with it. And so again, it's like someone invested in you. Someone gave you land, so you're producing with it. It's not just laying fallow, just an open field with nothing going on. When we were in Russia, we traveled through this one province over and over, different times. Every trip we made, we went all the way from one end of the province of Kaliningrad all the way to the other end of it. 4 hours of driving by bus. And we passed, I would say 80% of the land we passed was fallow. It was just laying there, grown weeds. And yet the people complained about not having wheat, not having corn, not having potatoes. They complained about the fact that they don't have any of this produce, but they're not producing it. They've got the land, but they don't produce because their government system said, no, that land's not for you to produce on. You'll get your produce from Ukraine, basically, was where they got most of their produce from. And the wheat and the every little grain grew in Ukraine. And they sent it there. This region called Kaliningrad is for iron, steel manufacturing, working, building ships. Yeah. That's what you're doing. These people lived 4 hours from the coastline. They weren't building anything for ships. They were living in poverty because they weren't even allowed to grow on their land. So that's not what God wants in our life. And he's not said, no, you can't grow in this area of your life. No, I want to live a life that is pleasing to him. That I am doing something with what he has invested in me. I could give you numerous accounts of where God spared my life, and I'm sure you can yours. Why did God spare your life? Just because God had a purpose for you? What about all those people whose life wasn't spared? God had no purpose for them? No. So, my Vietnam experience, I was in the Navy and then Marine Corps from 1968 through 1972, and I was trained in field medical work. I was trained as a medic with the Marine Corps. We went through combat training and field medical service and those things so that we could be prepared to give medical help on the battlefield. Of the 48 men that were in my group, trained with me, 45 of them died in Vietnam. 45 out of 48 that died in Vietnam within basically a 2-year period. That was the years of the Tet Offensive. That was the years of so much just invasion from North Vietnam and the Viet Cong. And it was incredible, horrific time for the veterans, for those who were on the ground. I didn't go. I didn't go to Vietnam. Out of the 45, two of us never went to Vietnam. One went and came back. And people have told me, well, that's because God had a purpose for you. He didn't have a purpose for them. My best friend, Elliot, he died less than 2 months after he'd gotten inland. He'd just gotten married. I went to his his wedding. He was Jewish. And so God didn't have a purpose for him. People that lose a child, you know, and the child is an infant, the child dies, God didn't have a purpose for that child? No, we can't say because we're here that God had a purpose. The point is, what are you doing with the fact that you are here? God spared your life. I can't always tell you how, why. You know, I'd like to say, well, God spared me so that I could marry Jan. That's wonderful, you know. God spared me so I could be here teaching this class. Yeah, that's great and wonderful, but I'm not here teaching this class because God spared my life. I'm here teaching this class because I have decided to do something with what God has given me. And just like your children, what you pour into their life, you want them to produce with what you've given them. You don't look at your children and say, well, this one has a purpose and this one doesn't. That's horrible. Yet there's a lot of theology that would say it that way. Out of God's sovereignty, you know, God has a purpose for this person to be saved. He doesn't have a purpose for that one to be saved. I just got to tell you, I hate that doctrine. I'm not afraid to use the word hate. I hate that doctrine. That God does not care, that God chooses who gets to be saved and he chooses other people to go to hell?
No.
That's their teaching. No. But God spared my life. God saved you. For what? Now I know he saved you because, first of all, he wanted to. Second of all, so that you could live to his glory. But what are you doing with that? There are millions of believers, billions probably, who have been saved and produced basically nothing with their life. Their life was fallow. They still go to heaven, but they had no production. I don't want to be in that group. Because God is going to ask us, what have you done with what I've invested in you? What have you done? Not to get my blessing, not to get to be saved, but because you have my blessing and because you have been saved. Look at the patriarchs in the Old Testament. God promised Abraham that he would bless him. But what if he walked in his own way? What if he just did all of his own things, had not followed the leading of the Lord? What if he had not decided to walk in faith? What if he'd rejected this whole thing, you know, about God giving you a promise and did what he wanted to do? The Hagar thing is a good example. But that's not the way Abraham lived. That's not the way he wanted Isaac to live. That's not the way he wanted Jacob to live. But for a long time, Jacob did what? What pleased him. And so this is the lesson that we want to learn. There's a line in the movie Saving Private Ryan. Many of you have probably seen it. But there's a line that comes at the end that I think pretty much only veterans can fully perceive what he's saying. But all the way at the end of the movie, he's in the National Cemetery. He's in France. And he's looking at all these graves and all these crosses, and he's looking at all of this. And this is, you know, a long time after the ending of his battle experience. He's old, probably close to the end of his life. And he's sitting there with tears in his eyes. He looked at his wife and said, "Tell me I've been a good man. Tell me I've done something. My life was spared." Now, part of the story is true and part of it is fiction. But basically he says, my life was spared. Tell me I've done something good with it. In a sense, that's what every one of us should have in our life. What have I done with what you have invested in me? How have I lived? top of the next column, bearing fruit. I want to walk worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit, fully pleasing to Him, so that I might bear fruit. If I'm not walking worthy, if I'm not looking to please Him, living my life to please Him in every way, I will not be bearing fruit. I cannot bear fruit without seeking to walk in the will of God, to know what He wants, and to live a life that is worthy. Bearing fruit isn't just happen. Now I know on a tree it does. And so, you know, but if you don't fertilize the tree, if you don't take care of the tree, it's not going to bear much fruit. Just like people that grow roses or other plants. Yeah, the power to produce, boy, that's fun over there. The power to produce flowers is inside the plant, but if you don't water it and take care of it, which happens if you give me a plant, I'm not a plant producer. My house is where plants go to die. No, not fully, but how many of you kind of that same thing? Yeah, they just don't live with me. We had a cactus that died one time. It was hot in our apartment. Couldn't even keep a cactus alive. But anyway. But I want to be bearing fruit, but I can't bear fruit if I'm not seeking to please Him. I'm just going to go through life, letting what happens, happens. The old movie, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. I'll just let it go. If God wants something from me, he'll do it. You know, if God wants this to happen, it'll happen. No. I want to walk in a way pleasing Him, my desire to bear fruit. One of the reasons I want to please Him is so that my life will be producing for Him. And the word bearing fruit is one, again, it's one Greek word, and it literally means to make fruit visible. It's the word for fruit plus the word for light. To make the fruit visible. To bear fruit is not to have the fruit inside the tree, it's to have the oranges outside the tree. But where do the oranges come from? They're in that seed that was planted years ago. The power to produce them is in there, but you don't know it until they are on the outside. So it is with God's purposes and plans for us. They're in here. God has invested things in you, but are you bearing fruit? Is it visible? Can people see it, taste it, hear it? Is what God invested in you visible to others? Just like the oranges need to be outside the tree. So we think of bearing fruit. There's two basic ways. There's others, but I thought of these two. There's the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you have the Spirit of God? We have the Spirit of God. But are we bearing fruit? Is the fruit of the Spirit visible? Well, we can go down through the list of nine, and we could, you know, check off this one, this one, draw a line through another one. It's like, yeah, that doesn't work for me. Like long suffering. How many people have trouble with long suffering? Yeah, none of you want to raise your hand. I know you do. So there's things that are in there. They're in there. Why? Because the Spirit's in me. The Spirit of God is inside of you. And so we should be able to bear nine fruit. Say, well, no, you know, this is my fruit that I bear, joy. And so I'm doing that. Maybe a little of the others, it's fruit, but it's shriveled. And then there's other fruit that's just not even present. That's not the way we're supposed to be. And so what God wants out of us is that from the presence of the Spirit inside, we draw out I'm not going to say produce because that's not the right word. It's I make visible the fruit that's inside me. Love, joy, peace, those things are all inside of me. But do you know it? Does the world know it? Long suffering is in me. Does the world know it? There's a big question. So this is the fruit of the Spirit. To walk pleasing is that I am bearing fruit. And the reason I want to be pleasing to the Lord is because I'm walking worthy of Him. I'm looking for each and every way that I can have my life please Him, that I can draw from what He's invested in me and produce. Now I know, you know, we could be, big word coming, anthropomorphic. You know, when we could make the tree, you know, like a person. But the tree has received something. Is it producing? And so we think of how that tree produces because God put oranges on the inside of it. Now, I'm speaking oranges because I like oranges. But, you know, because that's what's inside. And so we produce what God has placed within us. And I don't want to say we work on the nine gifts, but if there's something in those nine gifts of the Spirit that I'm not producing, I need to look at it. I need to look. What isn't there? And my next question is not what isn't there. What's the next question? Why isn't it there? What am I doing to hinder it? Why isn't that being produced in my life? And we can focus on those. I put down there some verses that talk about, or no, that's the next section. But the fruit of the Spirit, mostly Ephesians chapter 6, but it's echoed in other places through all of Paul's writing, these what we call the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the second part of this, bearing fruit, is the fruit of our work, the fruit of our labor. And this is not necessarily fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of our faith. What am I doing with what God has given me? Through faith, I want to be able to produce these things for the kingdom of God. Works of faith, not works to save. This is works because I've been saved. What am I doing, you know, in my testimony with other people? What am I doing with the place that God has put me within the body of Christ? What am I doing with my relationship with other people, my relationship with my family, my relationship with the kingdom of God? And so, you know, I want to walk in a manner that is worthy, pleasing Him in every way, bearing fruit through the works of faith. Paul talks about, you know, we're not saved by works. James turns it around and says, yes, but our faith produces. And so if I am saved by faith, then my faith will produce. If I'm operating according to the plans of God. Paul talks about believers bearing fruit or producing fruit or the work of their faith. And there is something that is good. Paul often speaks of this simply with the word good works. Now, these are not the works of salvation. These are the good works that we have afterwards. And every time when Paul talks about good works, he uses the Greek word kalos, one of the two words for good. And kalos can be translated noble or beautiful, something that is appealing. It's not just good by nature, that's agathos. But it's good because it can be seen. It's beautiful. And so Paul talks about the good works, the good labor that we give for the Lord. And this is important. And how do we come to this? John 14 through 16. What's in that section? John 14 through 16. The work of the Holy Spirit. And so it is through the work of the Holy Spirit that I can produce these works of faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That you are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. that we should walk in them. And so God has given us this ability to trust and believe in Him. He has a purpose and a plan, but am I doing it? Am I using my faith to obtain, to produce, to do what God has put before me? So there's the fruit of the Spirit, and then there's the fruit of our work, bearing fruit, pleasing Him in every way. So it pleases God for you to bear fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, what would be the opposite side of that? You're not pleasing Him. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you won't go to heaven. It's just that it's not pleasing Him. Now I know there's things in my life, and I'll get myself in trouble with this, that please Jan, that I do, and it pleases her. And there are one or two things. Since I'm up here, it's my story. There's one or two things that I do that don't please her. And that's okay. No, it's not okay. I was hoping somebody would rescue me from that. No, it's not okay. So it is with God. What are we doing that is not pleasing to Him? And I would change that, so that what I'm doing is pleasing to Him. All right, and the final thing is pleasing the Lord is increasing in the knowledge of God. Did you know it pleases Him for you to learn the Scriptures? It pleases God for you to come to the knowledge, that is, again, the Greek word epinosis, refined knowledge. You learn it, and then you let God expand upon it, refine it, give you understanding beyond what you learned. And that pleases God, that you learn from His Word, learn from the Spirit, and now you're concentrating on that so that you can please Him with what you have come to know. Pleasing Him. And increasing in the knowledge of God is what Paul wants the believers to have. I don't want you just to know some things. I want you to be increasing. And the word increasing means to be multiplying, to be adding to. So God has given me knowledge, understanding. What am I doing to increase on that? How am I causing that to be more productive? How many know God's word is productive? But it's not productive if we won't apply it. There's productiveness in a seed. It's in there. The power to grow is in there. What amazes me is not just that I can plant, beans or watermelon or something like that, and God can grow from that. What amazes me is those stupid little grass seeds that get between the cracks in my concrete. And they grow. I can't get my plants to grow in the house. Yet they'll grow through my concrete. How does that work? Because the power's in the seed. So it is with God's word. So it is with the work of the Spirit. His word is in me. But am I allowing it to produce? Increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm letting that expand. And the way I looked at this, I found three aspects. You can break it down in your own way. Increasing in the knowledge of God. The first is the knowledge of who God is. The more I meditate in His Word, the more I yield myself to the inspiration and the help of the Holy Spirit, the more I come to know who God is. New believers know who God is. But they don't know who God is like they're going to know who God is later on. And so my understanding of who God is increased exponentially since I came to salvation. Not just through study of the Word. Yes, thank God for that. But simply because the Holy Spirit's in here. And if I will listen to Him and draw upon Him, He'll help me increase in the knowledge of who God is. We've come to some incredible things, each one of us in a different way, of who God is, because of how He has touched your life, how He has intersected, invested, interfered in your life? Ever God interfere with your life? Because that's who he is. That's who he is. The second point of knowledge is the knowledge that comes from God. That understanding that comes for what he desires, his purposes, his plans, the knowledge of the things that come from him. I didn't know when I first got saved all the things that God wanted me to have. I didn't understand that I'd been created in his righteousness. I didn't understand that he had put peace inside of me and joy and all the other fruit of the Spirit. There are believers all over the world that have no idea what the fruit of the Spirit are. That doesn't mean they don't have it. It's in there. But they just don't know what comes from God. People think, you know, that their righteousness is based on what they have done, but it's not. It's based on what God has done in you. He has made you righteous. He has made you whole. He has made you alive. He has set you free. And so these are the things that come from him. And the more I know about those things, the more I am pleasing God. It's not just for me. It pleases God. It pleases God for you to be here in my class. Okay. But it pleases God when we listen to his word, when we open the scriptures, when we pray in the Spirit, when we draw from within the wisdom that we need from God. And so this pleases him. And then the final area of knowledge, and it kind of blends with the other two, is the knowledge of what he desires for my life or for the situation that I am in. I need to know what to do with this. I know the general thing. You know, I need to walk pleasing to God. But what about this? There's this thing right here. How do I please God in this situation with this thing that has happened in my life? It might not have happened to you. I may have experiences that have taken place in my life that you have never experienced and never will. But I need the knowledge that comes from God to deal with that. Yes, I study his word, and I can find in the word some principles, but then it's the Holy Spirit that fine-tunes those and helps to bring those together. So there's knowledge of the word, there's knowledge that comes from the Spirit, and there's the blending of those two that work together in our life so that we can be what? Pleasing to him in every way. Pleasing him in each and every way in my life. How many want to be on that track? I want to be walking that path. Have you reached the end of it?
No.
And if you did, you wouldn't be here. You'd be in heaven. So the ultimate desire. So bottom point, all these things are what Paul's praying for them. Paul wants these people to have it. And he knows they haven't all learned it. And he's just now writing the letter to the Colossians. So he's believing that they're going to have some things he's just now writing about. But he's praying for them to come to these full things. They're the result of the Spirit's presence. They're a result of his word, which is made available to us. But they're also the result of Paul's prayer. Paul prays for people to have this. There are people within our body, right here at Home Church, that have no idea of some of these principles. They don't know how to walk pleasing to the Lord. They don't even know that they should. Some believers, you know, to them, got saved, I'm going to heaven. And they don't see that there's so much more that God wants to do. You're not condemned for it, but neither are you productive. The seed's not condemned because it's just laying on a shelf in a packet, but they've found seeds from the pyramids, thousands of years old, and when they planted them, they grew. What? Because that's the life that's in there, and so it is with our Christian life. And we got brothers and sisters who need to know these things. That's why so many of you, taking out of my class, are teaching in the Foundations group.
Amen.
At first I thought, that room's full of people that belong to me. And then I thought, no, that's where they should be. People giving out what God has given in. And so we want to help people come to this fullness. And so Paul says, not just to teach. Please, when you get the people in that foundation group, don't stop when you're done teaching. Pray. Pray at the end of your class. Pray for them the next day. Pray for them through the week, that they will be grasping, growing in, understanding the things that you're teaching. Each one will have different circumstances in their life, and they need to know how to apply these in their life so that they can walk in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that you have given us insight.